So my name's John Ravenna, thankfully a member connected to this new program. I've been here for 30 years. I've been doing interviews for a long time for other projects that I've done about work and unions. So they asked me to help out on this for this building story. So the idea of this was to take pictures and to tape record for this whole project to record how this thing was done. So if you'd both kindly state your name and what, what kind of trade you're in or whatever, and what your job is in this job.
My name is Sam Ruschager, and I work for the Crispin Company, and I'm the project manager for this project.
And I'm Jeff White with the Crispin Company, and I'm the superintendent for this project.
You want to tell us something else? You want to ask some questions?
I just want to know if you want to shake.
You guys want to shake?
I want to be out of here before then.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. I'm always in for a shake. I didn't get this big overnight.
So we stop?
Yeah.
So you gave me your job title. What's that mean you do?
I'm responsible for managing the budget and trying to provide backup to Jeff White as far as getting product here when he needs it. Trying to get answers. William and I, William's the assistant project manager, try to stay ahead of all the paperwork on the project, manage all the bulletins, the changes, make sure the pricing's fair for the owner. And
owner in this case being MSU?
MSU.
Okay.
And the Residence College and Housing and Food Service. There's a lot of faces on this project for Colossus. And then
I noticed yesterday there were about four tours going on simultaneous.
Yes.
A little more than you might usually see. More people kind of care about this
this project is not something new for MSU, but new in a while from MSU. And food service delivery is a different... They delivered food service differently this year at MSU. So this is I don't know if you want to call it a test, but a different way of delivering food to the students. So there's a lot of excitement around bringing on a new residence college as well as a new food service venue.
What's the big deal difference going to be about the food here? I'm sorry.
When you're in it every day, it's sometimes hard to get the whole magnitude of what the project really is. It's like when I was involved in when we built biophysical science.
Uh-huh.
And they kept talking about how this is just this amazing research facility, and we're just like, really?
It's just a building in some way.
Yeah.
And could you tell us your name? What would you
take? William.
Okay. Okay, and what's your job with this?
Assistant project manager.
Okay.
But sometimes you just got to step back and realize the magnitude.
Uh-huh.
It really is a significant project.
Uh-huh, because there's various things going on. Like you're saying, what's the unique deal about the food, as you understand it?
Well, you've got... I don't know if the right term is cook for show venues, but we're finishing the food in front of the client, and in the round they're sitting within the food service, so the experience of itself. So I don't know of any other ones on campus like that.
Right.
But it's exciting, and the finishes are that of rivaling on something on Grand River or a private restaurant.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I just think it's a gem in itself. It really is.
Does that make it fun to be involved?
Absolutely, because you don't get to do those kinds of things all the time.
Okay.
It's a different project.
Okay.
Each one is unique. This one's been special since the get-go. I mean, you take a renovation of this size and tear down the building and reconnect and put a larger building in between with underpinning, and you really step back, your words, you step back and you think of the way we started this thing on the first day of May 8th, and Jeff uses the term, there's 153 people here.
What?
On the first day.
100 what?
155 people here the first day.
What's the first day here?
May
8th. What year?
2006.
Okay.
May 8th, 2006.
It's like a year and a couple months ago.
Right. And so a lot of good work has been placed in a short amount of time, and with a lot of added scope and a lot of other projects that came into contact with this one. There's just a tremendous amount of communication, and hats off to Jeff and Greg Soaroff, who was here before for the renovation. He's on to another project. It's no small undertaking. These guys built the team and marched forward.
Because you're taking an old building, tearing part of it down, and building something new in part of the tear-down area, but connecting it then to renovated parts of the old one, and then trying to make it so it doesn't show on the inside, right? That you...
Oh, definitely, we can tell where it is.
But do you think students or faculty are going to be able to tell? Or?
I think people that aren't familiar with the building over time, they will. I mean, we always know where the building, we've been here how long. But when we're touring people that have just been here, they get questions about, okay, well, are we in the new building or the existing building? And so I think we've done a good job, even if it's not meant to be, trying to make it look like it's not
uh-huh.
newer or renovated. The true test is when the university architect, Greg Holden, stands outside and said, you did a good job matching this brick. I just think it's been a job well done by all the people involved in this thing.
Because when you're on the south side looking north, if you really don't know, you possibly could think it's all one facade, even though it is new brick in between two old ones, because
yeah.
it really is a close match. And you give that a couple of years, I bet you it does disappear.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, it's
yeah.
just...
So, was there an extra large amount of trades because of that, or different kinds of work here, or is it pretty similar to most construction or remodeling, or whatever you want to call it?
The toughness here was you're affecting, it's not just this building, you're affecting other buildings around it.
What
I mean, there's tunnels going from this building, connecting steam over there to Mason Abbott. We were also working in their electrical vaults, site water, pulling it across different roads. I mean, you look at, you think it's a big site because it's a, you know, a big piece of property, but there's really no room
mm-hmm.
to work. And to think about how to mix all those, you know, you got a couple hundred people here, how you work safely and have all this site work around. We were literally, you know, as the Masons going, I'm digging holes behind them or trying to beat in front of them before
uh-huh.
they got there to get the underground stuffed in and to
uh-huh.
do it. A lot of changes. This was for me, because you get going and you'd have, we call them opportunities, not problems, but opportunities
right.
to overcome. And
is that Cushman's way they'd like you to look at it, or is that something you're...
That's the way we yeah, absolutely, Cushman wants to do that, but
mm-hmm.
that's the way... Because negativity gets contagious,
uh-huh.
and to keep the trades moving
mm-hmm.
in a positive manner, you need to make it, still let them know their impact, but
mm-hmm.
keep them moving in a positive direction. Call it an opportunity, it's not calling negative, we can overcome this.
Did you guys all come out of trades, or did you come out of schooling, or how did you get these jobs?
I came from Michigan State,
in
out of the construction management program.
Okay. And so you learned some stuff from the schooling and then probably some other stuff you had to learn on the job.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. And yourself?
I just went to Mother U. Got a doctorate in the School of Hard Knocks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you go to some trade?
No, I grew up around it all. I mean, I was a carpenter
okay.
and a cement finisher by trade and just been doing it for 23, 24 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a superintendent for the last 15, 16 years. So.
Mm-hmm. Can you still do the trade work?
Absolutely, I do it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's one of the. That's probably. I wouldn't trade my education for any of these guys. Even though I do admire them for
uh-huh.
going through college and stuff, it helps me know what physically can be done,
uh-huh.
understand what. Because in school, I'm sure they don't teach you about laminate and swelling and the, all that kind of things that you experience.
Uh-huh.
So that's just what, it helps me figure out the plan B's and plan C's because nothing ever goes just perfectly.
Uh-huh.
But you have milestone days and those are what don't move. It's in between how you get there. You got to, because you're always experiencing an opportunity how you get to there.
Okay.
Without moving it.
Uh-huh.
So that's
cool.
And it helps me rub elbows because I'm not, they tease me about a lot of my vocabulary. We have a board out there.
You swear more than the guys with college education?
no, that I
differently.
Just, no, it's not. It's not so much. It's not the swearing. It's the using words that aren't words. Like,
oh, okay.
Are we in a grievance here? Are we in a
agreeance?
Agreeance.
Okay.
I almost got him to try to spell that once. He said, "Wait
okay.
a minute, that's not a word."
We had a lot of fun with that. It's just different approaches that we all have different experiences in life that lend some positive to the project. And I think the key of this project team is we've learned everybody's strengths and weaknesses and when it's appropriate for that person to take over the reins and when it's appropriate for the rest of us to fall in behind and follow that lead.
Absolutely.
And it's worked very well. I mean, if this project team has to go separate ways, it's going to be a sad day. I mean, we've come to be a family, I think, over a short period of time.
Is that a tough thing in the building trade sometimes?
Well, you know, I've worked for more than just Chrisman. You typically don't end up with the same project team, project to project to project.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, sometimes you're happy to get away from some people, and sometimes you're sad.
Uh-huh.
You know,
and this is the first time that any of us have worked together.
Okay.
And it may be the last.
Uh-huh.
You never know.
Right. And going on for 8 or 14 months, whatever it is longer than you have on most jobs.
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, this is just a very aggressive schedule. This one is
how fast you're doing it, or how much you're doing, or both of those.
Both.
You generally don't put that much work in that amount of time.
Okay.
In such a small package. I mean,
okay.
You know, we just did a job on 170, 180 million in 14, 15 months, but it's a much bigger project over more landscape, bigger area, more people.
Okay.
This is, even though it's a big building, it's still a tight building to put that many people. You know, I would imagine probably in a job normal size, you probably have 100 people, and we're around a couple hundred trades.
Okay.
And, you know, a couple hundred tradesmen, and keeping them moving all in that same forward direction.
The whole trick here is to line up and have this job done before this job, because the next one's lined up and they have time. And how do you figure out that?
As far as like the next project or the series of work in
all the series of work within this project.
Well, we'd like to think we had a foolproof plan when we went out to bid.
Uh-huh.
And we did spend a lot of time. We're very fortunate that Chrisman gave us enough time as a group to have Jeff and his expertise and how things go together.
Uh-huh.
To plan the job. And when we typically go out for bid, some trades will have a schedule that shows milestones, and it's very big picture oriented.
Do you chart it on a wall, or you chart on a computer? Or?
A computer, we have software, and then we put it into the project manual, and so we can kind of tell the trades what we're expecting of them. In this one, we recognize some difficult things to be, and had a very detailed 30-page schedule in the documents. It was there for the trades, but the feedback we got from a lot of them was they never realized how difficult it would be. In the onset, they really were kind of wondering why we're pushing so hard to begin it. We knew that if we didn't push the hard to begin it, we would make it. And as of 2 weeks ago, we were hearing people say, I'm glad you pushed us, because it's not that we're cruising to the finish line, but we're all together and we can see the finish line, we're going to cross it. We know we're going to cross it in time or earlier. But I think, you know, hats off to Jeff for having the foresight to put that plan out there. But you said just a little bit ago, changes happen, life happens, things happen. You can't get a product in time, or we're waiting on something. You know, we look at all the different angles we can come in at this thing. And we didn't deliver this project like we thought we were when we went out to bid.
Uh-huh.
We delivered it on time.
Go ahead.
But there's still the basis of the thought pattern, the I don't know how you would word that, how we got from A to B, that whole general way we got there, that plan was from the beginning and still there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we figured out early on how we're going to set the steel and keep the concrete moving, and you know, you're moving from the, we call it four line, from the center of the building to the north, and then we're coming back to the center of the building and pushing south, and just figuring out that how you're flowing through the building from Snyder to Phillips. What was pretty cool is the flow through the building and to understand that piece of it, how we detailed it out as we got renovating.
Mm-hmm.
We came across some old pictures of this and some old documentation. And what was very, very cool back in 1945 when this was built is they flowed the same way we did.
Really?
And what was
scary.
It was almost
That's scary. Amazing. That's just amazing.
And what was really cool was to read, you know, because we hear this is a 100-year-old customer of ours, you know,
yeah.
the Christmas company, Michigan State.
Right.
But to hear about, with a flip of a coin, they used to decide back then, we used to build these buildings.
Oh.
And on this side of campus, it was a Ranger, not Granger, but Rainer, Ranger.
Huh.
And on the west side was the Christmas company.
Okay. So they kind of split campus?
Yeah, split campus. So we are here now. Uh-huh. It's kind of ironic. We're here still.
That's amazing.
We happen to be working on this book. So it's pretty cool.
That is cool. And like Irene's got this thing with her kid was in this dorm or something.
Yep.
And,
isn't that very cool?
And I've
small
heard,
world.
Yeah, I heard a couple other people had some personal connections that are working here. So it is pretty amazing. You raised a whole lot of things I'd like to ask about. Let me go with one of them. And you can skip if you don't want to talk about it. We had a job action that occurred here with one of the unions that a few weeks ago. That had to be something you didn't foresee or plan, I assume.
No, that's not true.
Okay. So that you knew that was coming?
No.
It was a possibility.
It was a possibility. It was all planned.
It was an informational picket line by one of the unions.
No, they were picketing against the laborers, yeah. And what's, I mean, you got a lot of, they got a job to do just like we all do. You make it as convenient for them. It's all legal type of thing. But you also, you know, it's all about building relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So you start early on.
You mean you start early on working with all the different union reps, or what do you mean?
Build the trust with all the tradesmen so they trust you to come back to work.
Okay.
But it's also about, you know, being polite, being courteous. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to take it to that level.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's a playbook you follow. And we, early on, that was back in...
Well, back when we bid the project, you know, we had, you know, the university accepts bids from everybody, a prevailing wage, and you follow those wage rates. So we had some non-union people that we interviewed that had the scope covered, that bid the project, and then ultimately decided with MSU to release that work, and we knew it was a possibility early on. It, you know, it's a high visibility project. It's on Bogue Street. There's a lot of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can remember the signs that were up for gates A and B were sitting in my office in that bathroom the second week on the job. And we kid about, that was great insurance. We never have to use them because, you know, it just slows down the project.
It takes 3 weeks to get those, you know.
And so I was on vacation, and when you get up, I got a message on my cell phone from William that says, you might want to call us. I knew something happened.
Uh-huh.
So I called him. And so that, it did happen. And, you know, we lost maybe a day and a half, 2 days. But
that's all.
But he said, like, you know, they have a job to do. There were some issues where we thought their safety was, the picketer's safety was in jeopardy with some traffic. And we made arrangements to make sure they were safe. And I think they appreciate it as well. I mean, they have a job to do just like we do. As well as people have a right to come to work. And I think it was fine. I think it was handled well. I think...
You had these signs, A and B gate, all prepared and ready.
Ready to go.
When we did the site, even right down to the site development, when you... You know, on our front end, all the gates were already established. You don't point that out to everybody in the beginning, but there was a reason I'd have two gates, so you can get around the site. It prepares for all that.
And it's relating to the rules of the National Labor Relations Act in terms of if informational picketing or a strike.
Gave everybody, so we're shut down a very short period of time.
Uh-huh.
So you let them do their...
And basically what you do is you open up the site for all of those that are unionized, go to a certain gate, and all the non-union contractors go to a different gate.
We had six gates. I think these particular picketers said this was the first time they ever experienced six gates before, so.
these are the hands, too.
Just union, non-union.
Yeah.
But I had three non-union and three union gates. Uh-huh. I mean, it's a tough site to get around, so it was all set up from the very beginning, and you can't.
Well, they had the ramp ready, obviously, to blow up, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty funny. So that really didn't set you back that much. But it was a little inconvenient.
Yeah.
Okay. What were other inconveniences or surprises that you weren't?
Soil.
What?
Soil.
Contamination, you mean? Or
no, just bad.
Didn't have bearing.
What kind of soil was it? What would you have hoped or expected?
It was a...
Sandy or a clay?
No, it was a clay. The the footings were meant to have a 7,000 pound bearing pressure, and we were getting 30 to 3,500. So not only do we have a tough time schedule, because we poured about, we poured 4,200 yards, I think, thereabouts of concrete in 2 months.
Is that a lot?
Yeah, very 4,200 yards of concrete is a lot of concrete.
I mean, is it like a piece of expressway that goes 10 miles or 2 miles?
I couldn't tell you that.
Okay, I didn't know. It's a lot for building construction.
With this particular building, because none of it is gang form style forming.
What's that mean?
Gang means it's repetitious. Wall, straight wall after straight wall after straight wall. This is all radius, columns, very intricate, tough pours, haunches. This is a very, this is not a production type pour. They're 20 foot walls, you know, tall walls, thick, a lot of re-steel, and all radius sectional with control joints. So it's a very tough pour with a stiff schedule. So that had to happen in that type of time period. So the fellas actually worked, and nobody took this lightly. It was all bid with overtime. We've worked every Saturday since May 8th, except for the holidays. We gave the holidays off to the fellas. But we've worked every Saturday since May 8th. In fact, the last 23 to 26 days have been straight. We've worked Saturdays and Sundays. Different trades, you roll them in at different times. The trade, Saturday was always a day for the trade that was behind to catch up. So different trades at different points in time would come in. That was their makeup days to get back on track. And so with that, they would pour 10-hour days. And then we would have to go to work. I say we, the excavator, would go to work after that and dig the footings out and prepare the soils with engineered fill to allow them to keep pouring the next morning. So we'd have a lot of 80, 90-hour weeks.
Okay. And because the soil was a little different, it made it a little more complicated.
Yep.
Now, one thing that's interesting, today's Wednesday. Something happens here Wednesdays on the site, right?
Can't tell you right back.
10 to noon or something? Or
are we at a trade meeting?
So, what's this, what's the weekly Wednesday meeting about? I've seen it, but I haven't been in on it.
That's just the time for all the foremen to get together.
All the foremen is who it is?
And us, and we talk about what's been accomplished, what needs to be accomplished, what their needs are. Sometimes they might be struggling with something that we don't know about. It's the venue to bring it to the table, and you know, like today, there were some items that we needed to discuss, and Jeff said, well, if you want Sam to call and help you out with that. So it's time to just kind of get stuff on the table, time for the electrician to look at the painter and say, can you get this done so I can put my lights up? To try to, you know, evaluate needs, direct traffic for the next week and what we need to have done. If there's a curveball thrown at us from the owner or we got a change coming out or we're missing pricing for a bulletin, we go through every aspect of the project.
Does everybody do it on Wednesdays, or is that something Crispin likes to do?
No, we just picked that
day. You decided.
We just picked it.
Okay.
And it's not, that was the minimum that we did. Sometimes
once a week was minimum.
Yeah, sometimes we'd have manpower loading meeting. Usually Sam and I'd sit in that, and we'd call in individual trades. And part of, you know, as a construction manager, it's not, you know, I view it as not just getting the owner what they're after, but helping the trade succeed. And because we have the knowledge, we have the ability, we have the resources in back of us to help us. And so these trades are all good, but you need to still help them get there. And hopefully they make a penny when they're done.
Right.
And then still get the owner what we bought and paid for it. And everybody finish on time, and it's a win-win for everybody.
Cool.
But you got to keep doing that to help them, too.
Now, Irene's role is she takes the minutes of these Wednesday meetings?
No, she actually runs this whole. She's actually all our boss.
Okay. So she's not taking minutes of those meetings.
One of her tasks is to try to capture those discussions, and we all take notes and then hand them to her, and then she'll put them on, you know, she'll put word process them and then get them out to the trades.
Now, is it unusual to have a woman in that role? Is it usually a guy, or is it usually a woman, or is this varies in jobs?
It could be anybody, but if it was a smaller project, it could be me.
Okay.
Or William. It just depends. We're fortunate enough to be able to have her on this project. She does a lot more than just take meeting minutes. And
She's been in this business a while.
Yeah.
She grew up around it with her. I mean, her husband was also in building business too, so she has a good knowledge.
But you need somebody who understands some of the trades. If not every trade, they at least get a sense of some of the kind of challenges that people doing a trade are going to come.
Oh, yeah. She understands the business, and she can anticipate what the needs of the project are and all of it, really.
Cool.
She keeps us all moving in the forward direction we need to go.
Anything else you want to tell me about this job or coordinating these trades? Yeah. Appreciate the conversation.
It's been a great ride. It really has.
You going to miss it when it's done and you move on to your next job?
You do all of them.
I think you miss all of them. You take a little piece of your project with you.
Do you ever come back with your family or just on your own a year or two later or 10 years later?
My son's coming here tomorrow. My middle son, to spend a half a day with me and just hang out. And, you know, it's a visit project. It's fun to go down the road and say you pass by something and you have those memories of it. It's a tangible mark of you've left your mark really on the world.
Uh-huh.
You're involved in relationships.
This one of the best things I think about this job is, you know, I drive by with my wife and, hey, you know, I was involved in the construction building there. And it's kind of fun to say that.
It's amazing the friendships that you make and the relationships that you have. I got a phone call yesterday from an architect in the Detroit area that I did a job probably 10 years ago, and it was just a question about a wood door, and, and you get talking about life and stuff, and it's just, I think it's great.
Part's pretty cool. You know, like, you know, the past owner and the past job I did from Tuscola, we're getting together on the 24th of this month, and his family and my family. And once a year or so, that's kind of cool. But you get the previous trades. I've got a trade that's, I haven't worked with him in 2 or 3 years, but every job that he comes with, because we have, you know, one of my big things is we made a commitment, we're going to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the date we said we'd do it in, and then we're all together going to make that happen, no matter what happens in between, because there's a lot of doubters. It happens that way.
What do you mean there's a lot of doubters?
Well, a lot of people don't necessarily believe in themselves, and you help them believe in themselves. You mean
the guys working?
Or whoever, whether it's the owner, architects, people working. You help them get to there.
Okay.
And what's very cool is they'll call you and say, hey, I just passed my inspection today, you know, and they're pumped, and thanks for that. That's pretty cool.
That's nice.
So they, you know, they've carried that same thought process on.
Well, thank you. I'll come around with those little forms to ask you to sign that you agree that you did this interview for this purpose and all that kind of stuff.
No problem.
If I have some other questions, I might ask you. How much longer are you going to be here? Just a couple of weeks? Or there's stuff that's going to keep some of you here longer?
Yeah, probably November. In October, November.
Our contract is to turn over second and third floor and then the terrace winter term?
Spring.
Spring term, sorry. And we'll be ahead of that. But we'll be here for that.
Okay. No, I actually have a last question. There's aspects of this project that are new construction, there are aspects of this project that are renovation, there are aspects of this project that are kind of historic restoration. Is that true? Or
how do you could characterize this as a restoration project?
Okay.
It doesn't have those characteristics of it.
A little was what he's saying, a tiny bit.
Yeah, I mean, there's
the limestone we fixed
up. The limestone, the salvaging the slate, putting the slate back on the existing building because you can't tell the difference. We salvage that. We salvage, I don't know how much of this brick off the old building. I think there was 3,000 brick that we cut in and replaced and fixed up, you know, to blend it. The old limestone we saved, the slate. So there was a lot of that that was done. Moved over a little stainless steel food service dishwasher type of thing, but MSU's doing some of the preservation, like the old handrails and stuff. They've actually got those. You know, so when you talk about the team, it's not just about us or the trades. It's about also working with MSU and their trades. So it's a blending of everybody, but they've got, like, their handrails. They went powder coated and fixed them. You can't tell the difference, I guess. They're just incredible now. So everybody's worked together in that aspect, and I'll put a little piece in it.
Thanks again.
No
Appreciate
problem.
It.
Anytime.
All right.